people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here. Is Buck Keeley here? Man, Buck hasn't called in yet, so I'm going to share with you something that I'm deeply troubled by. And that is certainly the Boston Marathon bombing, and you've been lied to. Now, how many people were injured? How many people were killed? I don't know. All I know is what I hear on television. But I know what I've seen with my own eyes, and what I've seen with my own eyes convinces me that there are evil and wicked people, and whatever happened, those people were murdered, and they were not murdered, as we've been told. Everything we know is what we read in the newspapers, what we see on television, and I saw on television pictures of a gentleman in a wheelchair with one leg blown off, the right leg blown off. The left leg, you saw him, and if you did haven't seen it, hopefully you'll still be able to get the pictures up at the Internet. The other leg is certainly a below-knee amputation with a bloodied tibia sticking out of the below-knee amputation. And, of course, a gentleman with a cowboy hat holding a tourniquet, but not a tourniquet wrapped or tightly around the leg, just a tourniquet that was suspending the leg so it could be up in the air so you could see below knee amputation. And we're told this is Jeff Bauman, who had both legs blown off, and he certainly sitting in the wheelchair, being wheeled away from the site where he's been injured. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody who's had both legs blown off has lost a tremendous amount of blood. You don't put them in a wheelchair and wheel them away from the site where, and where are they wheeling him to? Are they taking him to a hospital? No, you leave the people there, and you get them into the into an ambulance. You get them to the hospital. You put tourniquets on both legs so they don't bleed out, but there's no tourniquet on the right leg. There's no, and the tourniquet on the left leg is not tightened down. And I'm looking at that, and initially, of course, I'm horrified at the horrible injury that took place that I saw with my own eyes. And then, as you know, I was an orthopedic surgeon for many years. I know certainly something about amputations. I saw a lot of people with severe injuries that amputated many legs. And I've never seen anything like that where a piece of bone sticking out, not one little bit of flesh there, not one bit of skin, just a well-healed below-knee amputation. With a piece of bone, bloody bone, sticking out at the end of it. And as I contemplated that, I realized that's a staged picture. That is staged, and if that is staged, how much else is staged? Well, I wanted, of course, to verify what had happened. We called the hospital repeatedly to talk to Jeff Bauman to try to reach, find out something about him. No record of the hospital, but Jeff Bauman was there. We had the name of the hospital. And then he was transferred to a rehab center. We called the rehab center. We called certainly the press relations gentleman at the prehab center, never could get a call back. And then just about a week ago, they showed a picture of Jeff Bauman. After 19 days in the hospital, after losing both legs, he'd been discharged. Now, this is 19 days from the accident, not 19 days in the rehab hospital. He's discharged, and he is going to the Boston Bruin game, the Boston Bruin hockey game it is, and he's waving a flag there, and you'll see pictures of him, and he's in a wheelchair, and you can do this. I just did it this morning. Type in on your website, Boston Bruin hockey game, Jeff Bauman. Jeff Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N. And you'll see a gentleman sitting there with bilateral amputees, above-knee amputations. Bilateral above-knee amputations. Bilateral above-knee amputation. Wait a minute. I saw the picture. It was a below-knee amputation. No, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Bauman was waving a flag at the Boston Bruin hockey game with bilateral above-knee amputations, looking very happy. 19 days after he lost both legs, he's discharged from the hospital. How could that be? How could he have bilateral above-knee amputations? Well, I saw him with a below-knee amputation there. And then, of course, we learned from others who researched this that he was a bilateral above-knee amputee that they put a prosthesis on. It was all staged. But you check it out yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Go there and look. Google Boston Bruin hockey game, Jeff Bauman, and you'll see the pictures, bilateral above-knee amputation sitting there. Ladies and gentlemen, it was all staged. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. We've got to expand the power of the government to protect us from these wicked terrorists. But worthless wicked terrorists, if they knew the attack was coming, then they left the people there to die, just like they killed them at the World Trade Center. We have a caller, or is that Jeff? Is that our guest, Buck Keeley? Hi, who's on the line?
This is Buck Keeley here, Dr. Stan.
Hi, Buck. We're so glad to have you with us this morning, and because Buck is a master gardener, and we have Buck on because we want you to learn how to grow your vegetables. Buck does support Radio Liberty, but we think he does a great job, one of our favorite guests. And you need to learn how to start growing your vegetable garden. Why? Because I think we're heading into a period of chaos and crisis, and you're not going to be able to go down and certainly buy your food at the grocery store, and you say that could never happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what happened at the Boston Marathon could never have happened. Certainly, somebody, you saw him, saw the pictures with your own eyes with the below-knee amputation, and suddenly he's a bilateral above-knee amputee. Or is this all staged for your impression? So you go along with ever more control over our lives. Well, you better start thinking that the world is not the way you'd like it to be, and you better start learning from Buck how to put in a garden. I know I'm learning, and we're putting in our garden. And you should be as well. We can get the food right now, but how much longer? Buck, now where should people be as far as the vegetable garden is concerned? We're talking primarily to an audience in Colorado, in Denver, goes over into Wyoming. Should these people, should they be, have their gardens in yet, or is it too early for them?
Well, it's not too early to garden most time of the year. It depends what you're gardening with. This time of the year, the folks in Colorado in the higher elevations could certainly be putting in cold weather crops like peas, do well in the cool weather, kale.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Buck Keeley here at the American Seed Investment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Buck Keeley. We're talking about putting in a vegetable garden. And Buck was just saying that certainly in the upper, higher altitudes around Denver or Colorado, why people should certainly be getting in the cold weather plants. And what's the difference between a cold weather plant and a warm weather plant? And how would we know the difference?
But most of your cold weather plants are easily identified by the foliage being dark green. Is one of the key characteristics, but most of your greens, collard greens and kale, and lettuces and mustards, greens, all of those are cold weather plants who come up even during a frost time. They're very hardy. Cabbage as well is a very hardy plant. Those kind of things can go out late fall and they'll come up when the right time comes, springtime or early spring, you can put them out. But as well, during this time of the year for the cooler climates, it's time to prepare for your warm weather plants, such as your tomatoes and peppers, where you'll be getting them ready in the house. If you have a greenhouse, in the greenhouse, where you start sowing those out. And those peppers need to be sowed and germinated 6 to 8 weeks before you're going to plant them outside. And the same thing with peppers, somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks, so they'll be ready to go out at the right time of the year. As well as they can be doing things like preparation of their garden. It's time that if you've got below the frost line and you're thawed out on your ground and you're dry enough, you can get in and work the soil to get your compost work into the soil for this year's planting. So it's time to do gardening about everywhere in America right now.
All right, fine. So people get their plants in. And now one of the things I had never realized was that you don't plant the seeds very deeply. You plant them fairly superficially. How deep do you ordinarily plant the seeds so that they will come up?
Most seeds need to be planted about 2 times their thickness. One of the mistakes that novice gardeners make is they sow their seeds too deep, which means that they have a difficult time reaching the top of the soil for photosynthesis, and oftentimes those seeds will die in the process of germination. So you want to keep those seeds fairly shallow. Most of your garden seeds require darkness to germinate, and so you want to cover them with a light layer of soil. But don't cover them too deep, just about 1 or 2 times the thickness of the seed. So that means things like reddish seed and lettuce seed that's very small, you just dust on top of them soil. Don't cover them up. Don't dig a trench and put them in there and cover them up, or else you'll have a very low germination rate for those seeds. Make sure that you plant them fairly shallow. Things like pumpkin seeds and zucchini seeds and cucumber seeds that are larger, they have more ability to come out if you overplant them in the depth of the soil. But even them, you want to keep them about 1/8 of an inch below the soil level when you put them in the ground, just about 1/8 inch of soil on top of them. So very shallow planting.
And that's something I certainly didn't know, and I couldn't understand why my seeds weren't coming up. And they put them down a couple of inches in. And, of course, I just simply buried them, and they're unable to actually get their shoots up above and get the photosynthesis, so they simply die in the ground. So you plant them fairly superficially, and then how often do you water them?
that depending on what kind of conditions your garden's in, if you have a good compost soil that's holding moisture, that once you plant those seeds and you do an initial watering after you plant them, and you do want to water them right after you plant for a couple of reasons. One is you want to provide moisture for that seed to germinate with, but second, you want to make sure that soil is compacted around that seed so that it doesn't blow away if the wind gets up or the sunlight doesn't get to it because the soil blows away. But water it right afterwards. Ensure, unless you have a very dry springtime, that you'll start to see those seeds popping out of the ground before you need to water again.
And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for a Master Gardener, our telephone number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. How can people get in touch with you, get your material, and what should people be getting at this time? And of course, I hope that you'll mention the seed bank. People should have a supply of heirloom seeds so that if something did happen, you know, may not be able to go down to the store and buy what you'd like to buy. If you can't get them, you need to have them stored. You can store them for a long time. But tell people how they can get in touch with you and how they can get your products and what products they should be laying in at the present time.
Well, let's start with the last first on this. What products should you be having? That, you know, that it's not just the ultimate climatic event of a life-changing set of events, either man-made or natural-made, that would cause us to need seeds. Right now, the commercial seed producers are looking for ways that they can take over the production of seeds to stop the independent movement seeds. They've done that from the beginning with cross-pollinating the plants that can't sustain themselves. You can't reproduce the plants afterwards. The seeds are not able to reproduce the plants. And then they started the genetic modification to where that they genetically mark their seeds as well as change the seeds where they won't reproduce. And now in the EU, there is a law being floated that would prohibit the change of seeds between people. In other words, that if I have seeds that I produce out of my garden, that they're going to stop it, make it illegal for me to take those seeds and put them into my neighbor's property. So there's this huge movement taking place, and most of your listeners know the big players in this, but there's a huge movement being taken as an offensive measure against folks being able to own their own seed. And there's two reasons why. Number one is that there are those people who want to control the world food supply for nefarious reasons, and the second is for profit. So it's important to understand that what we sell at Seed Catalog is heirloom seeds. We don't sell any genetically modified seeds. We sell no hyper-hybridated seeds. Every seed that you buy from us can not only be harvested, but the fruit from that harvest can be collected for seeds and be able to be replanted or traded or exchanged or bartered among folks looking for ways to provide sustainability. So it's important that when you buy seeds that you look for seeds that are not hyper-hibernated or genetically modified, but rather that they are seeds that are able to be reproduced and collected and planted again. That's what we sell at Seed Catalog. At Seed Catalog, we have what we call the seed banks you had mentioned. And what a seed bank is a storage system for these heirloom seeds that allows you to not only have the seeds on hand, but have the seeds on hand for an extended period of time. So what we do is we take the seeds that we sell you and we seal them in a Mylar bag. This Mylar bag is a metal-based bag that can be sealed with a heat sealer, and it makes it impervious to insects, moisture, and sun. And then we place it inside a tri-wall PVC pipe and seal it inside the pipe, which, once again, it gives a second layer of protection against the things that destroy the seed. That's light and water and insects. And then you take that seed bank and you can either put it in your freezer or you can put it in a cool place in your house. You can put it in a garden area, dig it down a foot or two deep so the temperature stays the same. And it'll preserve those seeds for many, many years, 20, 25 years with good germination rates. So everybody needs to have that seed bank just in case of that natural disaster, man-made disaster, or politically made disaster for people who are trying to secure their own food sources to lay ahead for not only today, but for the days ahead. We also sell on our site what we call our value packs. And what those are is they're pre-prepared packs for gardening. We have on there an urban garden pack, a small city garden, a large garden. Then we have our lovers, tomato, pepper, and herb lovers, where we pre-select these and put them together in packs, and we sell those for about 25 to 30% less than what you do if you buy the individual seed packs. And we do sell those one at a time, and you can go through our website and find a variety of different seeds that you'd be interested in, over 250 different varieties. And to order those seeds, the best way to do it is to go to our website at seedcatalog.com. Go to your browser, type into the address bar, seedcatalog, all one word, seedcatalog.com, and that'll take you to our website, and click on Shop on Seeds. That'll take you inside the store, and you'll find all that we offer there. Or you can call us as well, toll-free at 888-866-9132, 888-866-9132, and Miss Susan will be glad to help you order online.
Now, when you put the seeds down, basically I was planting some squash seeds, and of course they're oblong. When we put the seeds in, should we lay them on the side? Should we sip them up so that one side, the point is up or point is down, or should we just lay them on the side?
Yeah, no matter how that you put that seed in the ground, whether you put it with the point side up, point side down, or laid on the flat, the root is going to seek moisture, which is going to drive it down, and then the plant is going to seek light, which is going to drive it up. The only real exception to that is garlic. Garlic always needs to be planted. It's propagated from the bulbs. It always needs to be planted with the pointed side up for the garlic to properly grow. But everything else, the seed itself, doesn't make any difference which way you put it in the ground. It's going to find light, and it's going to find moisture.
Isn't that fascinating? In other words, basically that seed knows exactly how to grow. All it needs is the water and the warmth for it to germinate then. Is that right?
It is the creator's own GPS system for root growth and plant growth. It's built into it.
Truly a miraculous thing, and yet, of course, most of us just take the food we buy at the grocery store for granted. Well, certainly if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, Buck Keeley, our telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524, and of course, what about squash now? The two types of squash, summer squash, winter squash, what's the difference between them? What's the difference as far as the planting is care of them is concerned?
Well, the springtime is defined to me by having summer squash come off. I love my first summer squash. Summer squash is a relatively early plant. 30, 35 days after you put in the seeds, you're going to have on the vine squash that's edible. Summer squash is designed to be harvested when it's small. One of the mistakes that gardeners often make on their zucchini or their yellow crook necks or other types of summer squash is allowing the squash to get too large. That a zucchini squash is ideally picked somewhere between 6 and 8 inches and is even better picked between 4 and 6 inches, which allows for a very tender and a very flavorful fruit. If you allow the zucchinis to stay on the vine for an extended period of time where you get those football-sized monsters a couple of foot long, what happens is it sends a signal to the plant that it's finished with its season, and it'll quit growing the fruit because it's got a notice to the plant that we have seeds now that will reproduce us. So as long as you keep those squash picked back, as long as you keep water sufficient to support the plant and nutrients, you'll have summer squash throughout the growing season. Now, the winter squash is designed a little different. Once again, the creators genetically mark these things to do something different, and that is that they grow as long as the conditions allow them to grow. That it won't quit producing the squash just because it's got a squash on there, but it's designed to grow as large as it can get. And so the winter squash, you plant them at the same time you do your summer squash, but don't expect to harvest till late fall. And you allow those plants to continue growing, and in the squash family is such things as the giant pumpkin. They'll reach 800-900 pounds in size. So your winter squash is designed to grow all season long. And those of you who are currently growing winter squash know that the thick walls of the squash, such as a butternut squash or the Queen Anne acorn squash, has a very dense and thick meat on it. Unlike the summer squash, which is very light and juicy, the difference between the two is the time that it takes to grow it. And once that that fruit reaches its full maturity, a butternut squash, for an example. Once you harvest that, you can put it into your the cool part of your house or into the place that you store your long-term food storage for the winter, potatoes and onions, those kind of things, and they will keep for months to be used. And so that thick-walled, dense product allows it to last for a long time. On the other hand, your summer squash, in a matter of a few days, it'll pass by because of the amount of moisture that's in the flesh of the fruit. So the summer squash is designed to be consumed immediately and then stored either through canning or dehydrating or freezing. The winter squash is designed to be stored through cold storage and will last for many, many months. And for those of you who live on the small country farms like we do that are providing a sustainable environment, those winter squash are not just for you, but your chickens and your goats and your other small animals that you keep on your farm can be sustained well with those so that you're not buying the expensive food at the local granary to feed your animals through the winter. So grow squash not just for you. Grow it for your animals that'll keep through the winter. Just drop out there in the middle of the winter one of those big 30-pound pumpkins, and your chickens will have a feast that costs you nothing for them to eat.
We'll be back in a moment. Our number is 877-254-7544. 877-254-7544. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Buck Keeley, a master gardener. Our telephone number, 877-254-7524. And if there are things that you'd like to know and questions you'd like to ask, if maybe you're already a master gardener. I'm certainly not. I'm learning so much really from talking to Buck. And Buck, certainly, how far apart should we be planting our tomato plants? As I'm doing most of my gardening in these containers, about 28 inches long, about a foot across, and filled with composted soil. How far apart should your tomato plants be?
Well, it depends which type of tomato plant you're planting. There are two major categories of tomatoes. One is determinate and the other is indeterminate. A determinate tomato plant is designed to put on a single harvest crop. They're low bush type plants. They happen rarely in nature that there are some heirloom plants that are indeterminate. But most of your created plants that are had through hyperhibernation are determinate plants by design. For the harvesters, they won't have a single harvest. So if you're planting a determinate plant, which is going to have a small bush-like appearance, about 2 feet apart, with rows about 3 feet apart will be sufficient for those. But most of the plants you're going to plant, if you buy the seed from seed catalog, is going to be indeterminate, which means they're going to be a vining plant that they're going to continue to grow as long as the growing season is there. And they're going to put out long limbs that are full of foliage to support the continued harvest of the tomatoes. And so you want to allow either those to be housed in containers so that a lot of folks, including us, we use grow containers. You can do it as something as simple as a piece of wire cage that you wrap around and set it over your tomato plant. And the tomato plant then will be forced to grow upwards. If you live in a cooler region, you don't want to do that because a part of the process of ripening that fruit is having sun on them. So if you live in a colder region, you want to provide maybe a 4-foot square for each tomato plant so they can vine out and lay on the ground so that those tomatoes get sun to them to ripen them out. But if you're in a warming growing area to where you have the longer growing season, you can use your grow containers, the fence that you put around it. You can buy those pre-made or make them yourself or stake them and tie them on stakes, whatever you need to do to get them growing upwards. And then you can do, once again, about 2 feet apart and about 3 foot rows for those if you're vertical growing those in a grow container.
All right, fine. Now, Sydney, what about planting squash? And how much space do we need for squash? The vining, the large vining squash.
Your winter squashes, pumpkins, winter squashes, gourds that you're planting require a large area. And what you do is you dedicate a part of your garden to that. If you're a flat gardener, you take a part of your garden where you're not going to be getting into it to work your other plants. Plant them about 4 feet apart in hills and about 4 feet apart in distance from each other. So if you had a 4 foot square area, one on each corner of a 4 foot square area, kind of get that idea in your mind. And they will take over that area. Vines will be going through there. Fruit will be popping up everywhere. And you just let them grow through the season. At the end of the harvest season, you walk out there and you step on the vines and you pick your winter squash. Summer squash, it's a different avenue for growing it because you're going to be harvesting it through the season. And so on the zucchini squash or other vining squashes that you plant, that you can handle those in a couple of ways. One is that you can vertically grow those. Once again, if you're an urban gardener, if you're a container gardener like you are, you can put those up on trellises so they grow upwards. And the zucchini, rather than laying on the ground and vining out, it'll go up the trellis and you pick those going up. Same thing with cucumbers. If you're an urban gardener or container gardener, vertical gardening allows you to get a lot more use out of the space you have. If you've got a large backyard garden where you're not concerned about space, then your vining plants, such as your cucumbers and zucchini and yellow crookneck squash and so forth, plant those about 10 foot apart, and they will grow all over that area unless you're using a bushing plant. Such some zucchini squashes are bushing plants rather than putting out vines. They grow in a bush. And so those that come up out of a single location, about a 3 foot square area for each one of those plants will be sufficient.
And, of course, you can also then put some sort of a fencing up or some sort of a grill for them to grow upward on?
Yes, that any of the vining plants can be grown on trellises, including watermelons. If you have large melons, you have to tie them, get an old pair of pantyhose and drop the melon in it. When it's about 2 pounds and tie it up on the trellis, it'll grow into that and then sustain it on the trellis. But most folks don't do that because it's a lot of work. But your tomato plant, your cucumber plants, your viney squash plants, all those can grow in a trellis, take up less square foot area out of your gardening area, make it easier to harvest, and also it makes them less susceptible to insects, terpenes, and other things that would eat them while they're on the ground level. So it's a convenient way to garden if you're in a limited space area.
All right. Now, what should we be using for fertilizer, and how often should we fertilize?
That fertilizer, and this is my own point of view, that people have different points of view, and I'm not going to do battle with them on that. I think that anything that you fertilize your garden with ought to be natural. We don't use any man-made chemicals or man-made fertilizers or herbicides in our gardens. We use a natural approach to our gardening. I think that whatever you put on your garden goes in your plants and goes in your body. And so I would encourage all your listeners to use only a natural fertilizer. A natural fertilizer is made out of ingredients that are available in our natural environment, such as our fertilizer we sell has things like seed meal and bone meal and the phosphorus you gain that you go down and buy a chemical-based fertilizer at the local store. The phosphorus you're getting there is made with chemicals. With our fertilizer, it's coming from bone meal. It has about six different ingredients in it. You can go to the website and see exactly what we put in our fertilizer. And that's all that we use is a natural fertilizer. And the amount of time that you put it on your plants depends on the plant. Short-lived crops such as radishes, I don't fertilize those at all. That it's going to have a short blast from the good soil and it doesn't need any nutrients. You're going to harvest those and you're done. Things like carrots, it's going to lay in the ground for a couple of 3 months before you harvest them. I fertilize those a couple of times during the growing season. Any high production plant, like a tomato plant or a pepper plant or a zucchini plant, any type of plant that puts on a lot of product requires a lot of nutrients to put on a good quality product. So when they're in production, when a zucchini plant or a yellow crookneck squash is putting on fruit and we're harvesting it about every other week, I put about a quarter a cup of organic fertilizer around the base of the plant. And if it's a slow producing plant, such as your winter squash, I'll fertilize those once a month, once every 6 weeks, just to give it a little extra boost. But those that are in high production, that's producing lots of fruit, like your tomato plants and pepper plants, if you feed them well, they'll produce more of the product, and it'll be a higher quality product.
Okay, well, I guess this is Gus Buckley, Master Gardener. We're talking about learning how to put in a garden, how to get it to grow. And many of our listeners may already know these things, but if they don't, why, they certainly should begin to learn, because I really believe we're heading into some very, very difficult times, and the world, this wonderful utopian world we've been living in, could end tomorrow. Is that the society has ended over in Syria for the people living there? They've lived there for thousands of years, and suddenly millions of them have had to flee forced. And why? Certainly because the rebels that we're financing have destroyed them. They've killed over 70,000 civilians, and the millions are certainly living in camps up there in their own country.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply in Fort Collins is proud of our military. We thank you and your families for the sacrifice you've made. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. May God bless America. This message from Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply, 3507 East Mulberry Street in Fort Collins, the full-line gun store and indoor shooting range, the largest gun safe dealer in Colorado, For information, call 472-5600. That's 472-5600 or visit rmss.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Buck Keeley. Our telephone number, if you have a question, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. But ladies and gentlemen, just think about the vague possibility that the wonderful world we've known could come to an end and come to an end very, very quickly. And how would you survive if you couldn't go down to the local grocery store and buy your groceries there? You had to begin to look at how you would provide for yourself and your family. Well, Sidney Buck, once again, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get to your website, get your products.
You'll find us on the World Wide Web by typing in your address bar, seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com, and that'll take you to our website where you'll see a lot of interesting articles on the importance of having heirloom seeds versus the other seed that is available. Also, it has some important articles on understanding what genetically modified seeds are. So I encourage you to take the time to look at that. And then click on Shop for Seeds. You'll go in and you'll find all of our products there available to purchase. You can also reach us at 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132, and Ms. Susan will be glad to help you get ordered online.
All right, and we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Yeah, Dr. Stan and Buck, this is James here in Golden, Colorado.
Good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, over the years I've heard Buck talk about his little thing that he does called Spuds in a Bucket, and I was wishing he would explain that to the audience and for me again so I can try that again this year.
You bet.
And I'll get off and listen. Thank you.
One of the easiest products to grow for a home gardener is potatoes. And if you're in a limited space area, one of the easiest way to grow those are in a container. And it's as simple as this, taking a 5-gallon bucket or any other bucket that that will hold your soil and knock some holes in the bottom of it so that you'll have the water be able to circulate out. Put in a layer of soil in the bottom of the bucket. Put in your seed potatoes that you cut. And by the way, a seed potato, you can't plant potatoes you buy at the store and have much success. They've been treated with a spray to inhibit the growth of the eye buds. Get a good organic potato or a seed potato at your local farm supply. And put 5 or 6 cuttings in the bottom of there, cover it up with a couple of inches of soil. And as those plants push forward out of that soil, just keep adding more soil into it until you get to the top of the bucket. And each one of those layers of soil, as you put it on there, will create eyes, growth nodules on the plant as it goes upwards. And so the potatoes will grow up that bucket as it grows, whether it's a 5-gallon bucket or a 55-gallon drum. And so you get the foliage to the top, you quit putting soil in, you keep it water, you need to put nutrients into it since it's container gardening. And then after a period of time, the foliage will produce the seed pods, the foliage will die. And when that's done, just turn over your container and dump it out, and you're going to find a bucket of potatoes there, sometimes as much as 10 to 12 pounds in a 5-gallon bucket. And it's a very attractive plant to have on your patio. It's a good way to have a growing environment that's close to home if you don't have a growing area. It's also great if you're like me, a little ambitious, rather than wanting the fully mature plants, is let it get about halfway mature, then dump it out and have all those new potatoes about the size of a quarter to a silver dollar that you put with some green beans. And that's how you do it.
All right, fine. Well, we have another caller. Who's calling in?
This is Dinah. And I just was thinking, as you were talking about how miraculous the seeds are, the root goes down and branches reach up, and it reminded me of a poem. I don't know who to credit for it, but it's it says, "He who plants a seed beneath the sod and waits to see believes in God." And I think of that all the time when I'm planting trees and stuff like that. So that's Dr. Stan. Thank you very much.
Well, you're more than welcome. And basically, of course, you know, we see miracles every day. We don't realize it. We take it for granted. And yet,
yes.
You stop and think, certainly, how did that seed come about to be able to grow, that I can put that in the ground and suddenly have a plant? There's got to be a designer. This doesn't just happen by accident. We have a beautiful, beautiful garden behind my home. And I look at the magnificent rhododendrons and other things that we have there, and you're just almost overcome with the beauty of this, and you realize, of course, this is God's reward to human beings, a wonderful gift to us. Thank you so very much for calling. Anything else you wanted to say?
That's all, Dr. Stan. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, Buck, well, we're getting just about to the end of the program. What is the thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today in the remaining 2 or 3 minutes we have?
Well, it's important for us to assume responsibility for our own existence in this planet, that the design of the Creator is for us to participate with Him in the place that He's put us. He put man in the garden to trim the garden, and after that He put man in the world to tame the world, to conquer the world. And one of the first ways we conquer the world is by becoming self-reliant and not dependent upon infrastructures that are created by men. Men is in the business of collecting, of putting things together, including people in large groups and controlling them. God's in the business of distributing people and giving them self-reliance in the environments they're in. And I think it's important for us to pursue self-reliance, not reliance on ourselves only, but reliance on God and the things He gives us around us. And one of the best ways we can do that is by divorcing ourselves from the government's supply lines and providing ourselves with sustainable, renewable products that with the help of God, we're able to continue on in perpetuity for our children. And so I encourage your listeners to gather themselves together in places where they can produce food to sustain themselves. The basic building block of this is vegetables. Everyone needs to be gardening. If you're going to have animals that you have to harvest, you've got to have plants that you plant to harvest to feed them. So start gardening. If you're not gardening now, start now. And everyone should lay aside a supply of seeds. Seeds that are able to be kept for extended period of times for the just in case either man-made or natural-made disaster or government-imposed limitations on what you can do to provide food for yourself. And so get a seed bank, get it laid aside, buy a garden pack, start gardening, and remember that the best way to provide for yourself sustainability is knowing how to sustain yourself. So begin reading, get with people who garden. Discuss with the in the area you're at what grows best there and how to plant it. Put together groups of people that understand gardening and work with them, and you'll have a sustainable life that will always be renewed each spring. And once again, let me encourage you, buy no seeds but heirloom seeds. Heirloom seeds are not only sustainable, renewable, but they are better fruit and product. They'll have higher nutrition, greater resistance to diseases and drought. They're the plants as God had created them, not as man had designed them.
God bless. Thanks so much, Buck. We'll talk to you again next month. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you, Dr. Stan.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley would like to take this time to remind everyone, a blood donation truly is a gift of life that a healthy individual can give to others in their community who are sick or injured. In a one-hour time, a person can donate 1 unit of blood that can be separated into 4 individual components to help save multiple lives. This message is from Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley. Give the gift of life. Give blood. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. I started the program talking about Jeff Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N. I look up the original pictures of when he comes out, and he's sitting in the wheelchair, both legs blown off, and he's sitting in a wheelchair. And the left leg, you can see the BK amputation. You can see the bloodied tibia sitting there, but not 1 ounce of flesh, no tears in the skin of the well-healed BK amputation that you see. How could that be? I mean, certainly somebody who's had both legs blown off, certainly would be in profound shock. He looks a little depressed there in the picture, but he's not in profound shock. The tourniquet is not on the right leg. There's no tourniquet on the left leg. They're just holding the leg up with a tourniquet, but it's not bound down to cut off the bleeding, because there is no bleeding. Because it's a stage film. And if you doubt that, if you want to see a picture of the real Jeff Bauman, I'll go to Boston Bruins hockey game Jeff Bauman on the internet, and you'll see the bilateral above-knee amputations. This guy was wearing a prosthetic below-knee amputation. It was all staged. We'll be doing some programs on that. And they killed those people. They knew it was coming, and it was all staged. It was just like the attack on the Twin Towers. Watch them come down. Go up on the internet, watch the Twin Towers come down, and notice how the upper stories of the building simply vaporize before the rest of the building begins to go down. Watch Building 7 go down. See how the center of the roof collapses first, so the walls will fall in, and then they take out the base of the building. They kill those people, ladies and gentlemen. They killed almost 3,000 people that day. The government had no idea this was going to happen, and yet the day after, they had the names and the pictures of all the 19 hijackers, six of whom are living and well over in the Near East today, or in the Middle East, and go up on the internet and type in six 9/11 hijackers living in the Middle East, and yes, it's true, and you tell me how they could have died that day and then come back to life. Ladies and gentlemen, basically, it's all a lie. Your reality is created by those people who control the media. If you want the book on media control, the book is called The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bagdikian, The New Media Monopoly. We carry the book. And then, of course, you need to get the DVDs, certainly on the buildings coming down. Richard Gage, heads of group, over 1,800 architects and engineers say the buildings couldn't have come down that way. There's no way those buildings came down the way we were told. 1,800 architects and engineers. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have two DVDs by Richard Gage. You need to get them. You need to watch them. Certainly, Richard Gage gave a talk, and you can get the talk he gave when he was at the Radio Liberty Conference, calling us at 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-CD set on the attack on the World Trade Center, and it's all a lie. They murdered them, ladies and gentlemen. If they'd murdered those 3,000, do you think they would be concerned about murdering you and your family? Do you realize that if you carry a cell phone on you, on your belt, in your pockets. It decreases the your sperm count 50%. You should not be carrying a cell phone. They know what they're doing. They've threatened people who tried to get this information out. They've threatened their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. Line number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Time is late. There is a battle. Please pray for me. Radio Liberty. Please protect tomorrow. This is my favorite.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contract.